Welcome today to the service in the name of the Lord Jesus, our risen Lord. When you think about it, there's a good reason why Good Shepherd Sunday falls in the Easter season, because what good and what blessing would there be for us if our shepherd had not risen, if he were not alive to guide us to the still waters and green pastures of his word and restore our souls as our risen Savior. So we pray that the Spirit of the Lord be with us today on this Good Shepherd Sunday as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins by the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the Lord of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that we may know the voice of our shepherd and follow him, so that sin and death may never snatch us out of your hand. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our lessons today is written in the book of Acts, chapter 4. We begin with verse 23. This is right after Peter and John are released from prison for preaching about the risen Christ. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Here ends the first lesson. Join now in the Easter acclamation, which this morning is responsively read, the 23rd Psalm. The Easter acclamation, which refers to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The Lord is risen indeed.
You were going astray like sheep, but now you are returned to the shepherd, the Holy Spirit of your souls.
The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the waters of life.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
The Lord is risen indeed.
And our second lesson is drawn from the first epistle of John. We read the first two verses of chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see him as he is. So far, the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Please stand as we now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 15 in the insert in front of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace and peace of Jesus, the shepherd and overseer of our souls, abide with you all. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Sunday is written in the Good Shepherd chapter, John 10. We read there verses 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed in Christ, these words that I just shared with you from the Good Shepherd chapter are a true treasure beyond all are calculating. Holy Spirit has used them to comfort, instruct, encourage a lot of weary souls, a lot of sorrowing hearts, to lift their spirits and supply them with much needed strength and courage for fighting the good fight of faith and winning the battle against the many enemies that we have to our souls down through the centuries. For all the pictures of the Bible, or that the Bible presents of Jesus, and there are many of them, many names that he's given, this may be the most beautiful of all. We want to this morning take a close look at it prayerfully with eyes of faith. We want to examine, first of all, the shepherd's own description of his beloved sheep, and then the precious promise that he gives to all those who, by God's grace, have become the sheep of his pasture. So how does Jesus describe his sheep? First, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice." You know, that's one of the characteristics that animal sheep have. You probably heard the story of the traveler in the Holy Land who happened upon several flocks of sheep that were grazing together on a hillside, a woolly mix of animals that all looked pretty much the same. It was a time of day when shepherds would lead their flocks home for the night, and each called out to his own sheep, and the sheep then immediately divided and started following their shepherd. And the traveler remarked to one of the shepherds, "Man, that's amazing. How does that happen?" And he replied, "Well, sheep are pretty dumb animals. They don't know where to find food. I have to lead them out to the green pastures so they can nourish themselves. They can't sense water from a distance like a camel can do, so I have to guide them down to the water brook. They get so easily lost and can't find their way back, so I have to go out and find them back to the fold. They do possess the uncanny ability to recognize their shepherd's voice. So when I call out to them, they come." And that's what Jesus is saying here in our text with regard to his people, sheep. They can recognize, and they do recognize, the sound of his voice as it resounds from the Holy Scriptures and the devotions that they have at home privately, in the preaching of the word that is offered each Sunday at God's house. They remember how Jesus once told his disciples that he who listens to you, that is to preachers and teachers of my word, are listening to me, their good shepherd. And when he said that, "My sheep listen to my voice," he of course did not mean that his sheep listened to him just in an outward way, kind of like children, and you parents I'm sure can relate to this. When you speak to your kids, they don't always listen, even though the sound of your voice strikes their eardrums. They listen, but they don't really listen. The thought that Jesus is presenting here in the Good Shepherd chapter regarding his sheep is that they hear his voice in the full sense of that word. They hear him as he speaks to them in his word, and they let it sink down into their hearts. They remember, for example, what the Lord says in the third commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And so they come faithfully to his house every week because they know that their shepherd is going to be speaking to them in the Bible lessons and in the liturgy and in the sermon. They love him and they trust in him and they rejoice in him and find comfort in his precious promises that he gives to them in his holy word. That's why you're here this morning. And only those who are his sheep listen to his voice in this way. In the verse that comes right before our text, We read about how some of the Jewish religious leaders who questioned Jesus' claims to be the Messiah, many of whom I'm sure had been in the audience lots of times when Jesus had been preaching and listening to his parables and things that he had said, they challenged him. How long will you keep us in suspense if you're the Christ? Tell us plainly. And he answered them, I did tell you, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, which was reminiscent of what he said to the unbelieving Pharisees two chapters before. And he said, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. You're not his sheep. We are his sheep by the grace of God. We love to listen to his voice as he speaks to us in the Holy Scriptures. Something else Jesus says about his sheep here in our text, he says, I know them. That is an immensely comforting thought, to know that Jesus recognizes and knows each of his sheep by name. He knows them. He knew you with an intimate knowledge even before the foundations of the world were ever laid. What a splendid thought. Jesus knew you intimately from eternity before the mountains were born or the hills were brought forth. He elected you by grace to be his. He had it in mind already then to purchase you to be his at the exorbitant cost of his own blood. And that means, of course, that he knows everything about you, all of your needs, and all the troubles that you have, and all the different problems, even if no one else knows what you are feeling or experiencing at any given time, the anxious cares you may have as parents raising your kids, as kids growing up in the world, the concerns, the anxious concerns you might have about this or that in your life, health problems, old age issues, even if nobody else understands the emotionally draining things that are going, that are happening in your life, your Good Shepherd does in an up close and personal way. He knows you when you approach his throne of mercy in your private prayer closet, unburdening the cares of your hearts to him. He knows you when you enter the church doors on Sunday morning to praise him for his love and to receive his blessings for the restoring of your soul. He knows you when you approach his altar on a communion Sunday to proclaim his death until he comes and to receive his true body and blood for the remission of all your sins, for your faith's bolstering, and to be energized for living your life as one of his sheep for his praise. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, the Good Shepherd says. Another characteristic he ascribes to his dearly loved sheep, they follow me. So they go where their shepherd leads, like we said before, like animal sheep do, because he knows, or they know, that he knows how to lead them faithfully with their best interests at heart. They know that he's going to lead them always, always to good places, safe places, by the still waters and the green pastures of his holy word, that word that he will use to protect them from the lurking wolf, that would be the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may attack and devour. They follow Jesus to the green pastures of his word because they know he's going to use them to help them to avoid temptation and to help them to steer clear of the dangerous pathways which the godless world is beckoning them on every side to enter upon. They remember also how their shepherd said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it." And keep before their mind's eye, for as long as they live in the world, good times, bad, stormy days, days of sunshine, this splendid picture of their loving, gentle, humble, pure, and faithful shepherd. They love his invitation and rejoice in it. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." And what about the precious promise that the Lord gives to his sheep? I want to talk about that also this morning. Very, very beautiful indeed. When he says, "I give them eternal life," and it's important also and noteworthy to remember or take notice of the tense, the verb tense that Jesus uses here when he says that. He doesn't say, "I gave them eternal life," as though the life that we have in Christ is a gift that he gave us in the past that we might possibly lose with the passing of time. Or, "I will give you eternal life," as though it were something that he intended to give us at some point later in the future. No. "I give them eternal life." That's the present tense, meaning it's something you have right now, even as you live your life through in the world. And all the troubles and trials you face, and all your cares, and every circumstance that you find yourself in, you have eternal life by faith in Christ your shepherd. You enjoy, in fact, all the treasures of his grace and goodness that he purchased for you with his blood. And you are also already enjoy, by faith in him, a foretaste of the blessedness that will be yours later on. Whenever you hear the gospel, the good news of the gospel, what John wrote about in Revelation 7, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 7. "The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he'll lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And what Isaiah wrote, chapter 51, verse 11, "The ransomed of the Lord will return. They'll enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." We already enjoy a foretaste of that right now every time we hear the gospel, the good news of Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. And yeah, through our life journey, it is true, dear friends, through this desert of the world, we are led through many a dark valley. Though our life journey through this desert leads through a lots of ups and downs, we have crosses to bear, a lot of hidden snares that the evil one sets for us. And we may be inclined at times in down moments of our lives and times of weakness to say, "But I am so weak. I am so sinful. Will I prevail in the end? Can I be sure of being saved? Is eternal life really mine?" Jesus says, concerning his sheep, "They shall never perish, and no one can snatch them from my hand." So despite all the foes that we face, again, that wolf, the devil, who roars, tries incessantly to rob us of our faith in Christ and snatch us from the Good Shepherd, he can't, because he is far stronger than the devil. And likewise, the unbelieving world as powerful as its godless influence is. Though, don't we sometimes feel like we're swimming upstream against the raging torrent of a current spiritually in the world, going in the opposite direction? Seems like we might get swamped and drowned. Jesus assures us it can't happen. We will not be drowned. No one will snatch us from His hand. He not only, as our Almighty Savior, has the desire to keep us as His own, but He has the strength. The security of our eternal future dependent on our own strength, we would be in serious risk. Or if we were to wander away from the Good Shepherd, from His holy word, from the flock of believers, from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we would be putting our souls at serious risk. But as we cling to Him in faith, listening to His word faithfully, staying in touch with Him through word and sacrament, we can say with absolute confidence, Paul to Timothy, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He's able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. And Paul to the Romans, I am persuaded, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So may these splendid words of your Good Shepherd from the Good Shepherd chapter stay with you and be your daily comfort, strength as His sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them from my hand. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, You are mighty in power and infinite in majesty. You created the heavens and earth and all that is in them. As we enter into Your presence with thanksgiving and prayer, bow down Your ear to us and in Your mercy hear us. We give You our great thanks that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to offer Himself as a sacrifice for all the world on the altar of the cross, through which we have been fully reconciled to You. We give You all glory, for You have glorified Your Son, Jesus, through His resurrection from the dead, with the promise that we too shall rise to life eternal. Grant to us the fullest blessings of this great grace, both now and forever. Our praise to You, O Lord, for You have transformed the short time of crucifixion, sadness, and defeat into the eternal joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us always to hold firmly to Christ's promise of eternal life, to receive it with joy, and to live resurrection lives for your glory. We pray that you would give your believers an inner zeal to do your will. Send us out as your ambassadors with the word of life in Christ, so that multitudes may be turned from their sins to faith in our risen Savior and Shepherd. Bestow your favor, dear Lord, upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, and curbs lawlessness. Move us all as Christian citizens to accept our lawful obligations cheerfully, giving respect to those in authority and goodwill to all. But since our eternal citizenship is with you, O Father, give us such a measure of your power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the victor's crown of eternal life. Give the comfort of your promises to the sick, the sorrowing, and the anxious. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Give us patience in every trial. Move our hearts to receive your many great blessings in love and gratitude. These things we ask in the glorious hope of an eternal day with you, because of the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Good Shepherd, for us. Amen. We also pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.